Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
And this morning, church, I want to share with you the title of my message is a comeback to God. A comeback to God. And if you have your Bibles with me, if you will go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. Hallelujah. Share the message on your social media. Tell them we are on live right now. We believe God has a word for you this morning. Now I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. Praise God. Do you guys have it? Verse 1 reads, "Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord." Verse 2. "So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. Notice what it says. "And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." The Bible says that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Last week, I shared with you from 1 Samuel chapter 4. Today, I'm going to share with you chapter 7. But when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 5 and 1 Samuel chapter 6, as I shared last week, the Israelites thought that they would have a victory again, but without serving the Lord. They thought, if we go out to war with the Philistines, we have the ark of God that represents the presence of God. For sure, we will win again, or we will have victory. But they quickly found out that God doesn't work that way. And when the Philistines went after Israel, they took over them. And quickly they knew that the ark of God, which represented the presence of God, they knew that in order to win a battle, you have to serve God. You have to serve God. It wasn't like, you know what, we have the ark and we'll win, even though at the same time we're not serving God, but we are serving other idols, we will be okay. So the Bible says, when you read in 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Philistines, the Bible says, they took the ark of God. They took what belonged to Israel. And the Bible says that they took the ark of God to Ashdod. And the Bible says when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it to the house, or inside the house of Dagon, and set it by Dagon. Because how many know that the ark of the covenant, the presence of God, is powerful? Amen. It is powerful. And the Bible says that when they put the ark of God in that place next to Dagon, the next day in the morning when they go inside the house, they find out that that god Dagon had fallen on its face. See, nothing can come against the presence and power of God. And the Bible said that it fell on its face. So what they try to do, they try to pick it up again. But then they found out again that the next day, again, it fell on its face. But this time, its arms fell from it. Its palms of its hands were broken off. Just the torso was left of it. So by this time, now they're afraid. And now they're thinking, you know, what do we do? And the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod. And the Bible says that he raged against them. And he struck them with tumors, the Bible says, in its territory. And when they saw all of that, they were afraid. And they were saying among themselves, the ark of God of Israel must not remain. Look what they said. With us. For his hand is harsh towards us. Think about it. I don't know if you're seeing this. The ark of the covenant, the presence of God, was in a place it shouldn't have been. It was in the wrong place. So in itself, nothing can stand before the ark of the covenant, the presence of God. But if you notice before, even though Israel were serving other idols, they thought, you know what, we're not serving God at the time, but we're just use the ark of the covenant and we will win, have victory, win the battle. But right away they find out that it doesn't work that way. I mean, God is just so wise and God is so sovereign and he knows how he works. But then the Philistines, they take the Ark of the Covenant. They take it to this house. And there's a God, the God of Dagon. And that God couldn't take the Ark of God, the presence of God. I mean, think about it. Imagine if Israel, or when us, the church, when we truly serve God and we surrender to God. Oh my gosh. The power and the presence of God is all over you. Amen. And there is no doubt that you and I can win every battle, any situation, anything you and I might be facing, you will not doubt, because we are walking with God and the power and the presence of God is with you. And when you go to chapter 6, right away they say, you know what, I think the best thing to do is send it back to them. Amen. Let's ship it back. And that's what they did. And here in chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 2, look at verse 2. It was the ark that remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and the house of Israel lamented over the Lord. Remember I said last week there was no presence of God for 20 years. And you know what? They felt that. They felt it when they saw that there was no presence of God with them. How many know that you know, and you can even literally feel it when there is no presence of God in your life? Amen. You know that something is missing in my life. And Israel, they knew. I mean, 20 years is a long time. I mean, even 2 weeks without Jesus, it's dangerous. And my prayer is, church, the Lord help us, that we not be believers that walk, but there's no presence of God. As I mentioned last week, yes, there is churches, there's ministries, there's Bible studies, we have Bibles, we have crosses, we have bumper stickers. We have everything. But if we don't have the presence of God, it's dangerous. I said, if we don't have the presence of God, it is dangerous. And we want, church, as a church, we want the power and the presence of God in our lives. A matter of fact, not only in my life, I want it in my marriage. I want it with my children. I want it with my grandchildren. That they would never forget that we serve an almighty God. Be careful with the distractions, church. Be careful with the distractions that are trying to rob from you and rob from me the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. Let nothing else take that central place. God still has to be the center of your life. Why do you think the Bible says in verse 2? It says, and all the house of Israel, look what it says, they lamented. They cried after the Lord. They knew that something was missing. But what they were trying to do, they were trying to substitute it with other things. Isn't it the same thing nowadays, church? We're lamenting. We are mourning. We're crying out. But we think, you know, we try to fill all that emptiness with other substitutes. And let me tell you something. Let's keep it real. You already know that there's nothing out there that can fill that space that only God can fill. And it is horrible and it is ugly and it is sad to walk or say that we are believers, but there is no presence of God over our lives. And we got to be careful, church, not to think that other substitutes will take the place of God. Because there's nothing that will never and never take the place of Almighty God. His name is Jesus Christ. Nothing can replace the power and the presence of God. Politics can't take its place. Entertainment can't take its place. A career can't take its place. Social media can't take its place. An influencer can't take its place. The only one that can take that place, his name is Jesus Christ. Too many people following too many influencers. And you don't even get influence. Follow Jesus. He's a true influencer. Hallelujah. And I don't know if you see, there are a lot of influencers losing their lives. That one's free. Let's move on. But here's the thing, as I said last week, Samuel, the leader, he calls Israel for one thing only, repentance. Remember my title, comeback to God. Maybe you're here this morning, you need a comeback to God. Quit thinking about your finances. Quit thinking about your marriage. Quit thinking about your family. Quit thinking about your money, your career. Think about your relationship and your fellowship with God that has to be restored first. That's the reason why, church, hear me. You yourself will never have victory. Your marriage will never have victory if your relationship with God is not fixed. That's the reason why, church. And we could do so many things, and there's nothing wrong with it. But everything starts your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still here? See, we can't serve God and try to serve other idols. And I'm not talking about church, which it could be possible. I'm not talking about statues. I'm talking about our culture, the idols that people worship. Even inside the church. But how many know that we cannot compromise? We cannot compromise the truth. Because the truth will always set you free. And we cannot water down the truth, church. We need to stop trying to fit in with the culture. When the culture ought to fit in with whom we serve. See, I don't have to fit in. I'm already in Christ Jesus. I said, I don't have to fit in with the culture. I'm already in with Christ Jesus. And I in him and Christ in me. Oh, well, you know, I got to do the latest, what they're doing. You know, and this and that. Do what you're doing, but represent Jesus. Rep Jesus. Give him glory and honor. I said, give him honor and glory. If you have a bakery, give God glory and honor. Hallelujah. If God has blessed you with a new vehicle, give God the glory and honor. Hallelujah. If you just got a raise, give God the glory and honor. Praise God. Hallelujah. If God has gifted you, God has given you so much, give him glory and honor. Let the world know who we serve. There's people that God has blessed you so much. God has given you so much favor. God has opened doors in your life, but you haven't given him honor and glory and praise. What's going on, church? The world needs to know who we serve. Hallelujah. And Samuel tells him, you know what? We need to repent. That's all we need to do. We need to repent. We got to go back. We need to come back. We got to go back to the Lord. And he says, with all your heart. And we have to put away all those foreign gods among you. And prepare your hearts for the Lord. That's verse 3. And serve him only. And he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Hallelujah. And when you look at verse 5 and 6, you're going to find out that Israel, all of Israel gathered, the Bible says, at Mizpah. And there at Mizpah, they fasted. And they confessed their sins. And the Bible says that they poured out water before the Lord. Think about it, which was a public act of humility. A public act of humility. They were humbling themselves before God publicly. Basically, what they were saying, Lord, without you, we are empty. Without you, God, we are nothing. Without you, God, we cannot move forward. Without you, God, we cannot win any battles. We cannot have any victories. Without you, God, we are empty. But how many here, church, know that when you're full of God, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you are anointed, bring it on, because the Bible says that we are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. And church, this morning, my prayer is that we would never be a culture that doesn't practice, hear me, that doesn't practice repentance. That we avoid repentance. That we might be a church, that we're not a church that we excuse sin. Or not only excuse it, but some try to rebrand the word sin. They don't want to call it sin. They just say, well, I just had a little fault. Oh, call it how it is. Sin is sin. Don't try to rebrand it. What do I mean by that? When we try to change it or we try to update it. No, sin is sin. Are you still here? Can I get an amen? Can I get a praise you, Jesus? Can you say, Lord, speak to me this morning. Speak to me this morning. See, that's what we need, church. We need church services where we humble ourselves, where we repent of our sins. Hallelujah. Where we seek God, where we fast, and where we confess our sin, where we cry out to God. We surrender all to God and we say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Clean my heart, clean my thinking. Purify me, Holy Spirit. That's what we need, church. Hallelujah. See, the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for repentance in the Old Testament, it means to turn back. See, church, I don't know where your standing is with the Lord, how's your walk. But notice that the word repentance means to turn back. You might have to turn back, church. You're going the wrong direction. You got to turn back and come back to God. It also means return. Church, return back to God. It also means restore, restoration. Does anybody need restoration this morning? God can restore you if you come back to Him. I said, if you come back to Him, God can restore you. From the head to your feet, God can restore you. Because we serve a God of restoration. A God of restoration. He does something miraculous from the inside out. Only God can do that. I said, God can only do that. Idols can do that. Man can do that. Only Jesus can do that. Hallelujah. Come back. Come on, church. Turn back. Make that U-turn. Quit being stubborn. Quit trying to walk away. Hallelujah. But get ready. Amen. Get ready. Because, hear me, every time you make a decision, like this morning, you say, you know what? I got to repent. Whatever it might be. It might be something small. It might be something big. Whatever it is. Don't matter. There is more power in the blood of Jesus. But every time that you make a choice and you say, you know what? I'm coming back. I'm coming back to Jesus. I'm coming back to my Father. Exactly like the prodigal son. I'm coming back to the Father. What am I doing right here with pigs? When I have everything with my Father. Everything that I need, I have it with my Father. But every time that you say, you know what? I'm coming back. And every time that you're about to repent, look what the Bible says. Look at it. When you read verse 7 through 10, the Bible says that when they started repenting, guess who attacked them? The Philistines. Every time that you say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm coming back to God. And you're about to repent, or you're in the middle of repentance, the enemy many times will attack. And he'll mess with you in your mind. What are you repenting about? You already did that 2,500 times. That's how he works. But guess what? You're still here. Hallelujah. You're still here. And you know what that means? That means that God is not done with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. God is still working. God is still cooking in you. God is still stirring it up in you. You're still here. Because the Bible says that the Philistines, they heard that the children of Israel had gathered at Mizpah. So what did they do right away? They went up against Israel. And in verse 8, you will read that when Israel heard that the Philistines were coming, the Bible says they were afraid. So what did Israel do? They right away, they went to the leader. They went to Samuel. And they told Samuel, do something. Don't stop crying out to God. Because here they come again. We talked about that last week. Now we have one mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. Now you and I have access to the throne of grace, to the presence of God. Where we go directly to the presence of God. And he tells them, don't cry out. Samuel, that way God can save us. And what did Samuel do? I'm going to finish right here. The Bible says in verse 9, I want you to get this. Samuel, the Bible says he took a suckling lamb, which means it was a young, or some believe it was the youngest of the youngest lamb. In other words, it wasn't just any lamb. It was a young lamb, a pure lamb, an innocent lamb. Are you with me? It was a young lamb that at its moment, it still depended on its mother. So Samuel, the Bible says that he took a suckling young lamb and offered it to the Lord. The Bible says a whole burnt offering. I'm not forgetting the picture. Samuel offered a very young lamb that represented, hear me out, innocence, purity, and helplessness. In other words, it symbolized something very costly and precious. In the Hebrew culture, this is what it meant. It was giving up something valuable and pure. So what am I saying? Samuel didn't just offer any lamb. He offered the best. And today, church, we have that lamb. John 1:29 says, the Lamb of God. Aren't you grateful that you have the Lamb of God, church? Jesus, he was innocent, he was pure, and he was offered as a substitute for you and for me. The perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible says that Samuel offered it as a burnt offering. You know what that means? The root meaning of that word means to ascend. When a burnt offering was completely consumed, hear me, by fire, rising up as a smoke to God. Like saying, look what they are offering me. A pure, young, innocent lamb. And that pleased God. You've heard that saying? They want that smoke? No. God wants your smoke. It'll take you 3 hours to get it. God wants all that smoke from you. I said, God wants all that smoke from you. God wants all that smoke, that burnt offering, when you completely, it's consumed by fire, Jesus Christ. God wants all that smoke from you. Why? I'm going to tell you why. See, you still don't get it. Because it represented, number one, total surrender. Church, you gotta surrender to the Lord totally. But see, some of us, we want one foot in church. We want the other foot somewhere else. We want one arm in church, but we want the other arm somewhere else. You know what I'm saying, right? But God wants all of you to surrender all to God. Consecrate yourself. I said consecrate yourself. Don't hold nothing back. The entire lamb was burned. See, you and I, church, we got to surrender all. Here's the problem. Our sin nature fights it. And says, no, it's because if you surrender all, you're going to, this is what happens. I'm going to tell you exactly. You're going to miss out there. If you surrender all to the Lord, you're not, and he starts saying all kinds of stuff. But church, the moment you surrender to God, God flips the switch. And you start saying, you know what? Look what I have been missing. This is where I want to be right here. I want to live a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of victory. I want to live a life of prosperity. I want to live a life where I know that I'm doing the will of God. I'm fulfilling my call because I know I have a purpose in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a place where I have to be. It's my fellowship with Jesus Christ. You know, a couple of weeks ago, somebody said, it's because I don't want to let go because, this is what he said, I have invested too much. Inside I'm looking like, man, God invested it all for you. Can you think? And there's people that have that mentality. I can't let go. I've invested that much. You know, back in the day, When I got married, I was probably like 23. We were broke as a joke. But before I got married in high school, I had what they call a bomb, a 1948 suicide doors, two-tone brown and beige. That's the car where we rolled in. Gangbanging, however you want to call it. And when I got married, it came, which nobody taught me, nobody sat down with me. In my mind was just, you know what? You just get rid of everything. So I sold the car, and with that, I bought stuff that I needed for my family. I'll just put it that way. But see, it wasn't the car that was in the way. Now I think I go, I should have never sold it. I should have kept it, fixed it, but not let it take its place from God. There's nothing wrong, church, having stuff. I want you to get that. I'm not saying that you got to get rid of everything and all this. No, I'm not talking about that. It's just about how to steward things and that nothing takes the place of God. And there's times that I say, you know what, and the car, I know where it's at, but they don't want to sell it back to me. So, but what I'm saying is that how important it is, church, is to ask God for wisdom in everything we do. And that when we truly repent and we are back in fellowship with God and we surrender our lives to Him, church, you're not missing out on anything. I'm going to say that again. You're not missing out on anything. Because when you have God, you have everything. And I finish here. And right when Samuel was doing the sacrifice, the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived and they attacked Israel. But the Bible says, see, God takes care of His children. Listen, church, anytime you say, you know what, I'm coming back, I got my comeback, get ready. Because the moment you come back to God, God begins to help you win any battle. And everything begins to change for the best. And what happened? The Bible says that the Lord spoke with the mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day. And the Bible says that all the Philistines got confused and Israel defeated them. How many know that God's still sending thunder? I said God is still sending thunder through His word. Through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God is still sounding thunder. This morning, He's sounding thunder, church, to your life. Hallelujah. You ought to be shouting. You ought to be rejoicing that today is your comeback. Today is a day of victory. And we're moving forward. No turning back. Just comebacks. Amen. Comebacks. Please stand, church, this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.